My beloved people, I wish to bring you up to date as you see that we have been noting in the bulletin that someone that we at least know of, Malachi Martin, has been very seriously injured. He is at the point of death, if he is not already dead. I have not yet heard this morning, as of last night, they had pretty much given up hope. So what this morning has in store for us, I do not know yet. But at any rate, it does strongly appear that he is definitely not going to make it. We must pray for him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today's gospel is a dreadful one. And it is certainly one that applies to us in our moment in history. We are indeed surrounded on every part with false prophets, with false prophecy, with false teaching, with false anything. It is there. Last Sunday, I mentioned that in last week's Catholic diocesan paper, there was mention made of an article, in a primary article, that we need to reestablish our concern concerning the Eucharist. This week there was another article, front page, and again we have looked up into the skies and for the first time found out that there's a moon up there. This week we've noticed in the moon that our priests do not act like priests. Well, of all things, I didn't know that. Did you? And that our priests need to work on their manners, need to work on their etiquette, need to work on their dress, need to work on their religion, need to work on all of their priestly ideals, of all things. When did this happen? Recently, I know a priest. He's been a priest about 40 years, 45 years. I think long enough to have gotten some sense in his head. He was invited to one of his niece's weddings. And he was bemoaning the fact, now he's been a priest for 45 years. And he is bemoaning the fact that black suits cost so much because he doesn't own a black suit. As a matter of fact, he looks more like a taxi driver than he does a priest. And they've just discovered that this is the case. My beloved people, there's a storm gathering outside, a new storm. It is not part of the old storm. The old storm has already taken place. And we do not prepare ourselves for a storm that happened day before yesterday. We should prepare ourselves for the storm that we see coming into the horizon. But unfortunately, and this is coming to us from circles within that we call ourselves traditionalist circles, we seem to be stressing the preparation for material preparation. Put more boards on your windows. Put bars on your windows. Put more locks on your doors. That kind of preparation. Yes, that's all right. I'm not condemning that. We're doing that ourselves. But it has to go beyond that. And we are not, in most places, talking about it. Our preparation must be a spiritual one. What good does it do to prepare ourselves materially if our spiritual life has deteriorated? And has been said so often, so very often, we've lost our sense of reverence. We've lost our sense of the divine. And how do you talk about the divine to people who do not comprehend the divine? In our bulletins, week after week after week, we stress the interior life. And I urge you to read about the interior life. We are so busy, all of us, about unimportant things in life, our party time, our engagements, our dinner times, our going out, our running to the florist, are running to the grocery store, are running to this place, are running to that place, run, all day long. At the end of the day, we ask ourselves, well, what have I accomplished today? And we have to answer ourselves in a rather frustrated way of life, of thinking, nothing. Where was God in all of our running? How much of our running was done for God? Or was not all of our running, and I do mean with emphasis on the word all of our running was for our own physical, material, social, cultural convenience. Not one phrase of any of it was for God. And so we've lost it. Even those of us who insist on saying that we do place God high on a pedestal. I want to point out to you a little example of what is happening right here, right now, in our community, in our monastery. As you know, it is my job, and a holy one, and a pleasant one, to teach the young men that come here the priesthood. It's my honor, it's my privilege to do this. And one, among others, and perhaps the most important, certainly, is to teach them the Mass and the ceremonials of the Mass. Role models no longer exist. They're gone. To go someplace and say this and thus It's like trying to teach someone in Alabama how to be a good practicing Chinese. We don't know how. And the best that we have got is to look at movies. And we have two movies of the Mass, Solemn High Mass, two movies. One that was recently put together in England, 10 years ago. We showed that one first. It was a Solemn High Mass. And we went through it. We didn't really and truly laugh too much at some of the things that we saw, and we weren't all that critical of the things that we saw in that movie of 8 or 10 years ago, of the Solemn High Mass. We went through it, we pointed out this and that, using it as an educational medium. And it was very instructive. Now, after we finished that movie, we looked at a movie of the Solemn High Mass that was put together, I think, in the early 40s. Some of you may have seen it, some of you may even own it. It's narrated by Bishop Sheen. We looked at that movie. We haven't finished it. We've only gotten as far as the offertory in that movie. And one of the young monks couldn't contain himself any longer. And he said, "The one we saw yesterday was garbage." That's where we are today. We don't know reverence. We don't know simplicity, to say nothing of that we've lost our sense of that which is beautiful. Once upon a time, it was said, the Mass was the most beautiful thing on earth. Today, one of all our own young people, the way it is done, as compared to the way that it was done before, had to label it garbage. And yet, when the people walk in, and they are so accustomed to seeing no more than that, they ooh and ah at its magnificence. We've gone a long way in a period of less than 40 years. We cannot, in the best of our intentions, here yet, in God's time only, we cannot present to you that which hopefully cannot be labeled garbage. But we're working at it with all of our strength, in all of our might, in all of our desire, in all of our intention to get there somehow. Not because we are trying to present to you a stage play, not at all. What goes on up at the altar is not a stage play. Now, I will admit that certainly in both of these masses that we have witnessed or are witnessing, with the proper intention, and we hope that there was proper intention in all of it, in the one as well as in the other, that that which transpired, namely the transubstantiation, was there. We will take that for granted. But when you left the one, you felt undoubtedly like you have just attended something that had to be done. Prayer was out of it. You cannot say truthfully that the atmosphere of prayer was there. We're not judging. We're not saying that prayer actually was not intended. We're simply saying that it certainly was not in evidence. The minute the priest walked in the second movie, they hadn't started anything. The minute he turned the corner around the altar, you knew you were praying, and you knew that prayer was about to take place. And you knew that you were giving honor and glory to God. And you knew further that God was there. Oh yes, no doubt he had to be there in the other. But to what extent, we're not able to say. My beloved people, as we believe, so do we pray. If our belief is shabby, if our belief is whatever, then our prayer has got to be shabby. And it is shabby. It's inevitable. If you are not properly dressed to go out into the cold weather, you're going to feel cold. You can't avoid feeling cold. And if we do not believe properly, then let us not complain that our prayer is not as it should be. Now we must be very careful too that our prayer does not become something manufactured. This is something that is also very evident today in many, many places and in many, many people. Our prayer has to be a natural thing. It cannot be artificial. It cannot be manufactured. Our life has to be prayer. Our life has to be prayer. We were made for prayer. I will repeat that to make sure that it is heard by everybody. The only reason why God made me was for prayer. To give him honor and glory. That's the only reason why I am here, is prayer. Anything that prevents me from fulfilling that purpose is extraneous, is out of place, is inappropriate, is superfluous, is wrong. Try telling that to God when the time comes to talk to him. Where does God fit in all of our running? Where does God fit in to our social obligations? Where does God fit in our business obligations? Where does God fit in our everyday way of living? I'm not saying exactly, though it should be some of this, naturally. I'm not saying that we have to stop from time to time and fall on our knees and get out our prayer books, our rosaries, our whatever we have to take out, and stop everything and simply devote that hour to prayer. But then, when we are in the process of devoting that 1 hour to prayer, where is our mind? We are kneeling. We have stopped. We're in one position. We're reading the prayer. Words, 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 words. But our minds continue to run and run and run and run to this social obligation, to that cultural obligation, to that business deal, to that something else. Our minds are running. Our minds are not praying. And after all, it is our minds that must pray. I am not speaking of taking time out. But what I am speaking of is that our lives have to be prayer. We may take this lightly. We may not take this seriously. We may take this that prayer can only be done at our convenience. My beloved people, take this or leave it. It matters not how inconvenient it is to give our lives to prayer if we have it in our hopes to save our souls. This is what we have to do. During the last few days, a figure of national prominence, plus two others, three people, well known to us, on their way to or from social obligation, hurry, 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 so we can go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, year after year after year after year. These people, unexpectedly, met up with death. First of all, we do not know when, we do not know where, we do not know how. And you and I both know that these people, when they took off in an airplane, had no idea of what was about to happen. They had no thought whatsoever. Probably their minds were again running, running. To the next affair. And what's worse, I haven't heard it, but I've heard reports that the so-called eulogy that was given was something to marvel at. You see, my beloved people, our Creator is not even on our back burner. He's not even in the kitchen. What thought do we give to God? Let us not worry. We must be concerned, yes. We must be prepared, yes. We must do what we can, yes, to protect ourselves, to protect our families as best we can. But be sensible. You know, everybody's talking about when it happens, I'll run to a cave. How stupid. How utterly infantile. First of all, we're going to run out of caves, aren't we? But, you know, someone said to me jokingly here some time ago, oh yes, I'll run to a cave to protect myself from whatever is going to happen. I just hope that it's close to a supermarket. We do not know starvation. We do not know hunger. We do not know cold. We do not know serpents. We do not know venomous animals. We do not know anything but the cushy existence that we have. And the running to the cave has nothing to do with my spiritual condition. That must come first. And I must quit. I started out Mass late this morning, and it's time to quit. And it's time to quit every time just when I'm getting started. My beloved people, well, I have to tell you, I had some relatives here for my Jubilee Mass, and I have a nephew that is my nephew, and he's going to grow up to be something else. He timed me from the first word to the last, and he says, you spoke for 51 minutes. 1 minute for each year of the 50 years, what was the extra minute for? So therefore, my beloved people, let us work on our spiritual existence, on our spiritual life. That's what we have to work on. With that, I have to go. You have to go. God bless you.